with you. Well, no, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of what I feel that God has given to me. In your bulletin, you'll notice under my name there's little quotation marks. If you want to put in metamorphosis under there, it might help you to remember. Because a metamorphosis is actually a transformation. And the scripture about the transformation that I have is found in Luke chapter, or in Matthew chapter 17. It's actually found in Mark 9 and in Luke 9 as well. But it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with them Peter, James, and John, led them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And the word there is metamorphosis. A metamorphosis took place, and Peter and John and James witnessed it. And the same is true when Paul said that we are being changed from glory to glory. The word change there is the word metamorphosis. God wants a transformation in our lives. And in nature, there are two types of metamorphosis. One is what they call the incomplete metamorphosis, and the other one is a complete metamorphosis. The incomplete is flying insects, like the house fly, for instance. It's incomplete. It's an egg, it is a nymph, and then it's an adult. Three steps. In the complete metamorphosis, that's creatures like the butterfly, the dragonfly. That goes from an egg to a larva, to a chrysalis, and then to the adult. It's a complete metamorphosis. It's a complete transformation. And that's what God wants for us. Well, in the Spirit, God wants to transform us in a way that will just absolutely blow you away. And the thing is that when God created us in His image, He created us with five senses. There's touch, there's hearing, there's tasting, there's smelling, and there's sight. I hope that was five. And God wants to show us that through our five senses, we can be transformed, we can be metamorphosized into His glory, into something that we have barely touched on in our lives. You see, touch is a language of love. Hearing is the art of listening. Not just hearing, but listening. Tasting is an introductory gift that God has given everyone. And smell is the fragrance of intimacy. And sight is the windows of our soul. Now, let's just go through these pretty quickly, because there's a lot in that. And I don't want to just give you too much. You start with a language of love. Touch is a language of love. You see it in a kiss by a bride and a bridegroom. You see it in the embrace of a father and a son. You see it in a mother nursing her child. It's all about touch. And touch is a language of love. And God loves us so much. In fact, they're found in hospitals now. There's a Japanese technique called Reiki, and where it's the laying on of hands, and they recognize that there is power in that, in healing people. It's the language of love. It's the language of healing. When I was, Isabel and I were over in Britain about a month ago, and we went to a Christian retreat center in South Wales called Faldbrennan. And the presence of God is there. The peace and the rest of God is in there in such a remarkable way. And the man that took us around, one of the couple, and after he showed us everything, he reached out and he just touched my arm and he said, "May Jesus bless you." And I'll tell you, that was remarkable to me. People have touched me before, but when he did that, there was something about that touch. And it was really Jesus reaching out and touching me. And it was just a moment. And that's all he said, "May Jesus bless you." And he just walked away. In the book of Jeremiah in chapter 18, God speaks to the prophet and he says, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And he says, so he went down to the potter's house and he saw the potter at the wheel. And the clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And God said, just as the clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, he said, so I will change Israel in my hand. And what is interesting at creation, when it says the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, the word formed there is the word potter. It's the Hebrew word yatzar. It means a potter when he fashions something. So if you can just imagine, picture a potter and he's sitting at the wheel and he's got his hands around the vessel that he's creating and he's making it, fashioning it, and he's focused completely on it. That's how God created each one of us. We are clay in the hands of the potter. And he created us because he loved us. And if you notice something about the potter, once he finishes with the vessel and he steps away, his hands are ingrained by the clay of which he created the vessel. And sometimes we think that God has forsaken us. God's forgotten all about us. And in Isaiah 49, God said, I haven't forgotten you. He says, can a nursing mother forget her child? Even if she could forget her child, I will not forget you. Why? Because I have ingrained you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God took us with his two hands and he wrapped his hands around us at the potter's wheel and he created us in love. How could he forget you? Because we are ingrained in the palms of his hands. Our clay is in his hands. Jesus puts it this way. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. And the Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. There's the potter. God loves us. But you know what? We know that God is spirit. And we want skin. Oh, how we want skin. It's like the little girl, she couldn't sleep, and the mother said to her, well, Jesus is with you. She says, I know that. She says, but I want skin. People have got what they call skin hunger. They say, one, and this is in the States, 1 in 4 Americans have skin hunger. They need someone to touch them. Well, God knew that. The Apostle Paul said that our bodies... He says, we know that our bodies are a tent. And if you understand the culture of the day, tents were not made with the fabrics that we have today. They were made with skin, animal skin. So he says, our body is a tent, it's skin. You are enclosed in this tent of skin, and you are inside it, and you're looking out these windows of this tent. And when God so loved us that he sent his Son, God came in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and it says this, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of his only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the word dwelt there is the word skin. Tent. God tented with us. He became skin. For the first time in all of history, God, who is spirit, became skin that we might be able to touch him and he might be able to touch us. See, when Jesus went on his ministry of healing, whether they were dead or blind or deaf or lame, he reached out and he touched them. The leper says, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I am willing. And he reached out and touched him and brought healing to him. He went to the disciples after his resurrection. In Luke 24, he says, see my hands and my feet, it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones that I have. He's inviting us to touch him. You ever wondered about all the names of the church? We've all kinds of names. We can call ourselves disciples, followers, the bride. But the most important name that God has given the church is the body of Christ. We have now become the body of Christ. Jesus is in you and in me. And when we touch people, it's God touching them. We forget that. That we bring God into a place, and it might be an ungodly place, but we are bringing Jesus, we are bringing God in flesh, and we are touching people. And if you don't touch them, they are losing out, because you have God in you, and you can actually touch people. And they don't realize it, but God has touched them, just as that man in Wales reached out and touched me and said, may Jesus bless you. You ever wondered why Jesus never used anointing oil when he was touching people? Not once did he anoint anyone. He just touched them. But he tells the church, you anoint them with oil. James, he says this, he says, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil, and in the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. Why? Because you can't anoint somebody without touching them. So in some ways it's a way of forcing the church to touch those that you would not normally touch. If somebody came in with a contagious disease, well, we stand back. No, God is saying, Jesus is saying to us, reach out and touch them. And if you want to take it even further, the greatest touch that God gave to the world was the cross. That's why we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Touch. In creation, the Father touched us. The Son touched us in redemption. And the Spirit touched us with power. Because the Greek word hapto means to touch something as you would light something. And the Holy Spirit came in fire and touched us. But touch is not enough. That's the first step, because God so loved us that he touched us through Jesus. But he wants us to listen. And hearing is the art of listening. I noticed when Larry was over there talking to Barbara, she was listening to him, but she was still playing. It's something about women, they've got the ability to do two things at once. And they've got the ability to listen to two conversations at once. Back in 1976, I'd first become a Christian, and I didn't really know who to talk to. Couldn't talk to Isabel, because I knew that she had no interest in that. But my brother and his wife came, and she went to the Catholic Church every Sunday. So I thought, well, she knows all about it. So Isabel and my brother are at the top end of the table, and Marie and I are down at the bottom of the table. So finally, with a little, you know, with a few glasses of wine at the table, and, you know, I felt confident I could talk to her. So I told her that I'd come into a relationship with Jesus. Well, Isabel's talking to my brother George, and for some reason, she's listening to him, but she's listening to down at the other end of the table. So she threw the two of them out and said, what is this that's happened to you? You see, she was hearing what he was saying, but she was listening to what I was saying. That's most important. What are you listening to? We can hear, but sometimes we're not listening. You see, if you look at the first three chapters of Genesis, God's, it says this, God said. That means somebody was listening. All of creation was listening, and it was their transformation. In fact, the Hebrews talk about the Shema. The Shema comes out of Deuteronomy 6:4, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And you shall teach them to your children." Shema means to listen in obedience, not just to listen and walk away. Because that's what James says. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers also. It is hearing and doing something about it. The book of Hebrews says this: "Long ago and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days," and you and I are living in the last days, "He has spoken to us by His Son, who He has appointed heir of all things." We need to be listening to Jesus. You hear people saying, "Well, I just go out into nature, amongst the trees, on the mountain, out in the ocean, and I just worship God in nature." Well, there's a hint of truth in that. Because Psalm 19 says this, that the heavens declare the glory of God. They're only teaching you God's glory. You're not listening to God. That's who you need to listen to. You need to listen to God, not to nature. Nature declares the glory of God. In fact, if you read the book of Job in chapter 26, it says some remarkable things about the cosmos. It says that God hangs the earth on nothing. Out in space, it's like, this is crazy. How can you hang the earth on nothing? And he talks about all the cosmos. And then at the very last verse in that chapter, it says this: "But these are just the fringes of His ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of Him?" We need to be listening to God and not just to nature. Recognizing that nature is declaring the glory of God, but we're not listening to God. It's interesting, Larry was talking about, I'm always looking for the deep things in Scripture. And the reason I do that is because there's a lot of preaching and it's saying, well, let's do this and let's do that, let's be good people. But you know, even the world does good things. But what we need to do is it needs to be God in us, the Spirit of God in us, rising up and touching lives, listening to God. I remember one time, this was back in 98, I was down in Dallas Road and it was one of these hot days and I was sitting on a rock and my feet were in the water, in the ocean. It was beautiful. And I just saw the shimmering sun on the water and it was just beautiful. And I thought, I recognized that the Juan de Fuca ran into the Pacific Ocean, went right down into the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic. I mean, and then I began to realize this whole earth is just covered in this ocean. And I thought, you know, that's God's love. I says, God, that's your love. Your love just circumnavigates this earth. And just as soon as that thought came into my mind, a voice in my head said this: "Peter, you're just looking at the surface. You don't realize how the deep things are under that surface." And God is asking us to listen to Him to discover the deep things that He has for us. Don't be a surface Christian. Be one who is listening to the deep things of God. You see, it's not in nature. Elijah knew that. There came this mighty wind, but God was not in the wind. There came an earthquake. God was not in the earthquake. There came a fire. God was not in the fire. But He was in the whisper. of God. God was speaking to him in that still, small voice. He was hearing everything else, but he was listening to God. You see, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We need to be people who are listening, regardless of what's taking place in our life. We sometimes allow circumstances to stop us from listening. Larry and I know a good friend, and so does Jason, by a man called Fred Schmidt. Fred Schmidt had a business. It was a bodybuilding business, not this kind of body. Certainly not this body. It was vehicles. And all the noise that was involved in that caused him to lose, he had only 40% of hearing in one ear and 10% in the other. So he went and had it all checked out, and they said, well, listen, the 10%, there's nothing we can do with that. But the 40%, we believe we can improve that. It just causes a little bit of a surgery, a day surgery for that. Fred says, I'm going for that. He has a surgery, and something goes wrong. And he loses his 40% hearing. He goes home and he lies on the couch, and he says, what was that all about, God? And then Fred said to me this. He says, I heard, I don't know how you describe it, but I heard a golden tone. And he says, if heaven is anything like that, it must be a beautiful place. Fred was listening to God. See, when God speaks, he doesn't speak in a strange voice. He doesn't sound like Charlton Heston, by the way. You know, he comes in a very familiar voice. Remember Samuel? Samuel in chapter 3, he's in the temple, and he's under the tutelage of the high priest Eli, and he hears a voice saying, Samuel. And he gets up and he runs to Eli and he says, you called? Eli says, I never called. Go back to sleep. Lies down. The voice comes again. Samuel. Gets up, runs again. No. Three times he hears the voice calling him, Samuel. Finally, Eli realizes God's calling him. God's speaking. He says, the next time the voice calls, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For the fourth time, the voice came and said, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for I'm listening. It comes in a very familiar voice. Listen to the familiar voice. It may sound like the one you love, and it is the one you love, because God so loves you. You know, if you don't listen, it can really affect your life. It can affect your situation. The first church we were in, we replaced the pastor. He had committed adultery and ran off with someone. And the elder said to me, he said, when we were looking for a pastor, the denominational leader said to me, he said, I've got the pastor, I've got the man for your church. He's well known in Christian circles. He was a professor at this Bible school out in the prairies. And he just wants to get back into pastoral ministry. So we believe that he is the man for this church. So, this elder, denominational leader, decided this was it. They told the search committee and they went along with it. But then he got a phone call from the prairies. saying, you need to check this man out. There's some issues about his morality and the way that he deals with women. And the elder heard it and he said, I don't think I'm going to tell anybody. I think he's going to become our pastor. You see, he heard, but he was not listening. 2 years later, that pastor committed adultery with this man's daughter. He came right back on his own doorstep. Why? He heard, but he didn't listen. We need to develop the art of listening. Which leads to the third spiritual sense that we have, and that is of taste. Taste is an introductory gift. A number of years ago, we went to South Korea, and my son worked there. He was a teacher there, and his boss decided to take us out for the day, and we went to what's called the raw fish market. The raw fish market is a place you'd go, and there's buckets and pails, and there's live creatures. There's sea snails, there's fish, there's octopi. I mean, there's a whole gamut of fish that are in the seas today, and they're all alive, and they're all swimming away in their little buckets. You choose what you want to eat. So we left it up to his boss, and he just chose them. We went across the road. They bring these live creatures onto a chopping block, and they just start chopping them up. And then they just put them in, don't cook them, they put them in between leaves, and you eat it. Now, on my plate, there was the tentacles of an octopus, and they were all squirming and squirreling away, and they looked very much alive. So I thought, well, I'm going to try this. So got my chopsticks, and it nearly came off the chopstick. I was just like trying to go off, and I popped it in my mouth, chewed it until it stopped wriggling. And I thought, am I going to swallow this? I thought, I don't think so. You see, I tasted, but I didn't consume. That's what happened to Jesus when he was on the cross. They offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6, it says this: there are those who have tasted the heavenly gift, have shared in the Holy Spirit, have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then to have fallen away, it is impossible to restore them again to repentance. That is a scripture that has troubled a lot of people. You see, repentance is a head turner, but it's not a life changer. Back in 1977, Isabel went to a Roman Catholic church. They were going through a bit of the charismatic movement at that time. And as she went in, she saw a woman who was just very strikingly beautiful. I mean, she noticed her right away. She just stood out in a crowd. And she never gave it much attention, but recognized, saw the woman. About 2 years later, excuse me, she took her daughter to a specialist. And who was at the reception desk?